Joining us now to talk about it.
That little detail.
He's an insider for KSLSports.com and the Puck Report podcast, the one and only Jay Stevens. Jay, thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I love being on the air here.
I have to do this a lot because nobody knows who I am, Jay, because I'm new in this business, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So let me ask you who you are, because if people haven't heard you, this is the first time you've been on our show.
Okay.
Who you are, what your background is, how you got into hockey.
Yeah, I'm a local guy. Lucky enough to just, it's funny, I was actually a skateboarder, and the guy that had the half pipe, his dad was the local high school hockey coach. And so if I wanted to skateboard on their half pipe, I also had to play shinny hockey or street hockey.
Huh.
And then next thing I knew, I was playing high school hockey, and I moved away and played a little bit in Minnesota, then in North Dakota, and I just kept chasing the game. Everywhere somebody would let me play, I would play. And then I ended up spending the last 25, 26 years as the emergency backup goalie for the Utah Grizzlies. I played at Weber State, played college in North Dakota as well. So, and then for 8 years now, I've been hosting the Utah Puck Report here and letting the people of Utah share their stories about hockey. We've had some amazing stories. A lot of people, you know, make the NHL back in the day. People didn't know here that, you know, Steve Konowalczyk spent 17 years in the NHL, and he's born and bred in Salt Lake City.
Awesome.
Yeah, we do have a rich history of it. I mean, they used to play at the Redmond Building. We've had the Golden Eagles. Like, we have a hockey history. It's just, it's been a bit of a lull.
Right. We're a niche.
So I guess on that note, do you think we as a community are prepared for this task? And Ben and I have talked about, you know, things like sponsorships and that sort of thing. But I want to talk about, you know, potential fan base. You think we are an untapped resource?
100%. Especially if you look at, like, what happened with Las Vegas. And Vegas just blew up, right? They had 400 registered hockey players. Now they have 4,000 registered.
Wow.
That's just youth. That doesn't count men's league. That's how it's going to blow up here as well. I think the SEG is going to do a good job at building youth here. I know one time he was quoted as saying, you know, he wants to do the same thing for youth hockey here as the junior Jazz do for basketball. He's very involved in growing the game. I think people will go, the corporations are going to buy season tickets. They're going to go as a thing that they're going to do as a corporation fun event. And man, once you go to a live hockey game, you're hooked.
Yeah.
And if you got a team that is here every day and you're hearing about them on the news and you get to know them, you're just going to be hooked.
Can we talk about where we are just with this whole process? Like, this is the last game of the season for the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Going to be an emotional game at the Mullet.
Expensive ticket right now, too.
I bet. Yeah, I mean, there's only 5,000 seats. That's how you get the money up. So what is happening tonight? Like, do we know what tomorrow holds for Arizona or Salt Lake City? Like, how sure are we of anything?
Personally, I am 100% sure that it's going to happen. If I know the ink isn't dry on the contract, I know a contract hasn't been signed yet, but I know it's going to be within the next 48 hours. I know everybody's anticipating a big press release tonight after the game. I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think you'll hear some stuff out of Phoenix, and it's going to be exciting because they know it's happening. I think the Board of Governors will probably meet within the next 48 hours, and we'll have a press conference on Friday or Saturday sometime, and it'll be a big deal, but it's coming. And I'm sad for Arizona. First NHL game I ever took my son to was the Coyotes game. It was amazing, but man, I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm excited.
From an organization standpoint, how tall of a task will it be to be ready to roll by next season?
Wow, that's, how crazy is that, right?
That's like, wild. I can't believe it's possible.
You've got 4 months.
Yeah.
As a player, and you get drafted, and you're like, oh, I've only got 4 months to get ready for my first NHL season or whatever. Imagine, like, I gotta find a locker room. I gotta, you know, the thing about that I've learned talking with Ryan Smith and his group is these people, not only do they have vision, they immediately solve problems. And I think as soon as the potential, because, you know, he wanted expansion. He was very clear that he wanted an expansion team, and he thought he'd have that 5 years. I think the NHL came to him and said, can you fix this problem right now? Can you help us out? And he said, yeah, let's move him in and we'll figure it out. And I think he figured it out. I think it's huge, though. Like,
yeah,
just
logistics alone is wild.
And, you know, you're going to lose money because right now some of the sight lines aren't great. You have 14,500 good sight lines and then a bunch of sight lines that aren't good in the rink. So they know that the money's not going to be coming in great at first, but I think they're going to pull it off. I can't imagine what it's going to look like behind the scenes. All the little pieces, of, you know, sometimes we just move fire apparatus. We have to pull all of our equipment off one fire engine and put it on another. And we're like, oh, we forgot this little thing or a placard or a garage door opener. And now imagine doing that with a 30-year-old franchise and putting it in your in the Delta Center. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. But I know that those are the right people, and it's going to be amazing.
Let's talk about the Coyotes themselves. As I've done my research, you can speak much better to this. This is like a cool young team. Like, yeah. This is not a disaster. You're not buying the Oakland Athletics that can't get out of the cellar. Like, they are on the upswing of the rebuild, and not just the beginning of it. Like, it's getting kind of close.
And it's funny because a year ago, people were so mad at the GM, Bill Armstrong. They're like, man, he keeps... Because, you know, a goaltender gets really good, and they dump him off. And because now he needs $4 million a year. And so they'll dump him. And for you basketball fans, that's actually a really huge salary in the NHL. So they're like, all right, this goalie's now good enough for $4 million a year. Get rid of him. We'll start over. So they draft again. They get more draft picks. And then another player gets really good. And they're like, nah, he's too good. Dump him off. Yep. He can't be in our 4,600-seat building. So they've been dumping him off and stockpiling draft picks. I mean, you've got 7 first-rounders playing on the team right now. You've got another 7 in their AHL team. You've got their first-round pick coming up this year, 4 second-round picks coming up this year, tons of cap space. Yes, they missed the playoffs this year, but if the way that Smith Entertainment Group has seemed to have ran stuff, and if you know, just watching what happens with the Utah Jazz, I think they're just going to go right now, grab the talent that's out there, do some really good free agent moves, and I truly believe that we're going to be a threat next year. Hmm. I'm calling it weird. Us, the Salt Lake. Yeah. I'm already embracing the us.
I hope this question makes sense. So with the hard cap in the NHL, and it's different from the NBA in that way for yep. fans around here used to following that. The best run teams in the NHL, how are they usually run with that hard cap situation? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And do you know the drama with the Las Vegas Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights right now, and how they've avoided the salary cap?
No.
So the salary cap is the salary cap. It's not like the NBA where you get a luxury tax or Major League Baseball. Where
it's a hard cap.
It's a hard cap, and you do not go over it, and you do not go under the floor. Like, all the teams are competitive, and all the small markets have the same chance of winning the Stanley Cup. But the Golden Knights, last year, had 2 of their best players on long-term injury, which does not count against your salary cap. Mm. And then at the trade deadline, brought in good players. Again, this year, all of a sudden their top 3 players are on long-term injury, which they're legitimate injuries. I mean, Mark Stone had his gallbladder rupture.
Yeah, they're hurt.
They're legit injuries. So, and then they go out and they get Thomas Hertl, who is the best player on the Sharks. They get Mantha, who is just an amazing big body boy. Like, he's just a great player. And all of a sudden, they have 3 more $8 million guys in the lineup just in time for their own $8 million guys to come back in playoffs. And that's how they made it last year. Tampa Bay Lightning did it before. But typically, I think that'll get voted out this year. That's not going to work anymore. But that's the only trick around the salary cap. Everybody else just has to play within that cap.
So as usual, it's the team that finds the loophole and then take advantage of it until they close the loophole.
Hey, that's how you and I got our jobs. This is a loophole here that you and I have.
Hey, same. That's how I got mine. Yeah.
Okay, Jay, can you tell us some of the personalities that we need to be familiar with? You talked about Bill Armstrong. If you haven't heard our sister station in Arizona, he does a weekly hit with them. He's awesome.
Oh, really?
He sounds great. Yeah, he, awesome. He does a weekly interview with them.
Oh, he's...
is very candid. Yeah. Like, it's very cool. Who's the coach? Can you give us kind of some ideas of, like, the people we need to be familiar with if they get announced Saturday, Friday, whatever this is?
So Clayton Keller is the first guy you're going to want to know about. He's one of their last draft picks, just a great Canadian player. Andre Tourigny is their head coach. Very good at developing kids, developing these 18, 19-year-old first-round draft picks. Right now running a system out of the 90s, and that's not his style normally. I think he's kind of adapted to having a lower cap. He's kind of been running this neutral zone trap a lot, which is kind of boring to watch. But that's kind of what you have to do when you have a lower salary cap team. But Clayton Keller, just a great United States-born player. He was phenomenal in the World Juniors a couple years ago, and just that's one name you're going to want to know. Nemelka, one of our goaltenders. We have two really good goalies, Nemelka and Connor Ingram, and a Canadian and a Czech. They've been phenomenal. It's really been hard to tell who the starter is
because
they've both been so solid this year, and they've been getting peppered, so they've had a lot of experience this year, and. Nemelka's pretty interesting. You'll love interviewing that guy. He's pretty interesting to interview. And then Shea Weber. I don't know if that name means anything to you guys yet, but it will. Shea Weber's been around for a long time, a legend with the Predators. He's been on the Coyotes. He's injured right now, but he's got like a 107-mile-an-hour slap shot. Very entertaining off the ice.
Heavy on puck. That's what they say, Jake.
Heavy on puck.
Is it now?
Shoots a heavy puck.
He does shoot a heavy puck. And yeah, so guys like that, you're gonna get to know a lot of them, and I imagine there's gonna be some really good free agent signings, and should be really interesting to see what happens.
107 miles an hour. What's the fastest one you've stood in front of?
It wasn't clocked. I was really surprised. I got the opportunity to a few summers ago. There were a bunch of NHLers that live in Park City, and I was practicing with those guys. And Rob Blake was one of them, who has a legendary slap shot. On my way driving up there the first time, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm going to stand in front of Rob Blake's slap shot. But it was Claude Lemieux. Claude Lemieux, who was not known for his shot, was literally putting welts on my... I left all welted up through my professional quality gear. It was just one of the hardest shots ever.
I can't imagine thinking to myself like, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Hey, Jay, most of our listeners have been to a Grizzlies game, and Grizzlies games are great. They've been fun to be a part of. What is the difference that they're going to see between the NHL and a Grizzlies game?
So, kind of the Olympic motto, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they make less mistakes, their decision-making is a lot faster. So your first couple games, you know, people complain about not being able to track the puck when it's on TV. When you're there live and it's moving that fast, there's a growing curve. You got to learn to follow that puck because those guys know where it's going before they get it. And it's fast. And that's the main thing is when you go and you see it live and you see, okay, these guys are big. You know, you got a big 6'6", 240-pound guy. It's pretty impressive. And I've said this a lot. Hockey is beautiful. Hockey is as graceful as you want to see it if you look at them skating, and that part's beautiful. And if you like the violent part of it, hockey's got violence because those fast, beautiful skaters run into each other at 30 miles an hour, and then if you cross one of the unwritten codes, you're going to end up fighting. So those things, watching those live, people just love it. Okay. It's got something for everybody. It's one of the rare sports that really does have something for everybody.
We don't entirely need to go into the reason for me asking this question, but who would you say is the best hockey executive of all time?
Bill Armstrong.
I guess I'm going to say Bill Armstrong right now, but, you know, I'm forgetting his name right now, out of New Jersey that put all those teams together. Phil Lamoureux.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm taking notes. But it will Ben and I do a little contest that will be relevant for in our next segment, so that's why I asked you that.
Hey, Jay, one of the things I have heard that I am excited about, I'm curious if you can speak to this and if it's true. I was listening to a fan podcast of the Coyotes, and they were saying one of the things that's really interesting, this guy had covered the NBA, had covered a lot of sports. He said the intimacy you can build with a hockey team and the players is different than other sports. Have you noticed that there is a stronger personal relationship between the players and their communities than the NBA? Because like you said, there's not as much player movement in hockey as there is in the NBA, where it's like every 2 years now you might have a totally new team. The Jazz have one player on their team from 24 months ago. Have you noticed that in hockey in the NHL historically, that players are A, around longer, and B, they build those types of relationships with their community?
Yeah, 100%. The core of the team typically does stay around a little bit more, and they are way more involved in the community. And I don't know what the reasoning is. You know, I know with the NHL, with NBA players, they're superstars, right?
Yeah.
Nobody can go around them, and they have a hard time going out and just eating and being left alone. But NHL players are less entitled, maybe more grateful to be there. And a lot of us have to leave home at 14 and go live with a billet family and learn to play there. And then you learn right away, like, hey, I got to be a good guy and I got to be involved with this family and I got to be involved with this community, or my junior team's just going to cut me. no matter how good you are at the time, there's a lot of other 15, 16-year-old kids that they can just bring in to fill that. So as you grow up under that pressure and under the realization that playing pro is an honor, it's a gift that so many people don't get, that they're just more grateful. And then they get out in the community and they always try to do stuff. And it's not like the team going to them being like, all right, boys, today's the day, we got to go do this. It's like guys go out on their own and find stuff to be involved in and do it. I've known several, even Sidney Crosby. There are times that he'll just be in a town and he'll just go to the rink and just pop in and sign autographs and meet kids and meet fans. And it's really cool. It's kind of a unique sport that way.
Well, thank you, Jay, for dropping by. And we look forward to you having you on the show all
this
the time, man.
This is
going
to have to be a weekly thing. Yeah, we're going to have you weekly.
Oh, I'm excited.
You don't have to be in studio, but if you want to be, we'd love to have you.
And I feel confident in this, that you easily have the best mustache in the building.
Ah, thank
like,
you.
Like, number
thank
one.
You. I've worked hard at it.
I don't know.
I think I'm the only mustache, right?
Ben certainly isn't going to catch it.
Whoa!
I don't think I can either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give him my
take
best.
Take several years.
Yeah.
Hands grew some facial hair, but it doesn't compete.
No, he's not. I mean, come on now. But Jay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're the man,
we
Jay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to talk more hockey soon.
You bet.